I think often with tools and inventions, they're often invented earlier by other people, but they don't quite take off. The timing isn't quite right.
Live streaming is nothing new, but in the last couple of weeks, a new app called Meerkat has gained huge popularity for its ease of use and integration with Twitter, seemingly capturing the imagination of the social network's users for the possibilities of live streaming. My name is Alistair Reid, and for this week's journalism.co.uk podcast, I'm going to be discussing Meerkat and some other live streaming apps with a couple of experts, the possible implications for journalism, and some wider ideas about the democratization of live streaming. But let's start with Meerkat. So it's a very basic setup. You sign in with Twitter and are presented with a simple menu of a text box to populate a tweet that notifies your followers you're streaming, a stream button to go live straight away, and a schedule button to plan a broadcast in the next 24 hours. This scheduling and Twitter integration, they're interesting facilities, but why has it gained such popularity so quickly? Since its launch at the end of February, it's safe to say that the app has gone viral. It's grown so fast that founder Ben Rubin has spoken on CNBC. He's set to talk at South by Southwest and also at TechCrunch's Disrupt NY conference. There have no doubt been other instances as well. So journalism professor Paul Bradshaw details his thoughts on why the app has taken off where other live streaming apps like Twitcasting and Twitcam have not.
I think a number of factors coincide at this particular point, which have helped to make Meerkat more successful very quickly. And that is partly the higher power of mobile phones and in terms of video and the more widespread use of those. And the more widespread use of video generally, you know, we've had Vine since those early ones. We've had other tools as well. But also less competition for attention. You know, when the original Twitter live streaming apps were launched, there were lots and lots of new Twitter apps, and there were lots of apps all the time. So it was very hard to stand out and really grab people's attention if you were launching a Twitter app. Now there's much less competition.
The popularity of Snapchat and WhatsApp and FaceTime has changed the landscape somewhat as well, in that people are now more used to the ephemeral nature of shared video messaging and shooting in portrait rather than in landscape. And in fact, all broadcasts on Meerkat are portrait, even if you turn your phone to landscape. And then when trying to watch a live stream on desktop, it just doesn't really work. You get an overly magnified snapshot of the stream, like watching television through a letterbox pushed up against the screen. Equally, there's no option to automatically save a video, at least not yet, although users are given the option when they finish streaming. Tim Poole, who has ample experience in live streaming the Occupy protests around the world using Google Glass and other services, who's now working at Fusion in the US, gave his verdict as well.
When I first tested Meerkat, it doesn't do anything the other services don't do, and in fact, it has less functionality than almost all of them. So the idea that you can, you know, they say they're live streaming through Twitter. That's not actually the case. It just automatically tweets to your account, which you stream, live stream, Twitch, any service can do. It's not you know, too groundbreaking to be able to automatically send a tweet when you start doing something or when you post a video. But it doesn't archive. It doesn't show you your stream rate. So I don't know if my stream is going up or down. I suppose I could go into the full technical details about it, but I would just say right now it's a very, very simple app that doesn't do anything special compared to the other services. In fact, it has less functionality than almost all of them, but there's one important thing. Right now, people are using it, and that's all that really matters. You could have the best app in the world, but if people don't use it, then that's it.
So just as with HTML and the QWERTY keyboard, it may not be the most efficient or effective tool for the job, but right now it is the most popular. At the time of writing, though, Meerkat isn't actually working, while competitor Stream, spelled STRE.AM, launching today, Friday 13th of March, is similarly easy to use, but with some added facilities. You can choose to record the stream before going live, for example, and you can shoot in landscape and share via Twitter or Facebook or email or even SMS, although there is no option for viewing on desktop like at Meerkat. Twitter is itself reported to have bought a streaming app as well, in the form of Periscope, for, according to Business Insider, somewhere between $50 and $100 million, and this hasn't even launched yet. So Doubtless, there will be other live streaming apps and platforms in the coming months. Just as the explosion with private messaging apps in previous years and social media networks before that. But what does this democratization of live streaming mean for journalists and news organizations on the whole?
I think you're only going to see it used in the industry where there are live events, speeches, things like that, which are kind of scheduled events or where a live stream is going to be important or kind of breaking news events. Beyond that, I think you would probably move towards something which where you can plan a bit more in terms of how it looks. You can record it in a way that can be reused later. But where I think it is very exciting is where people are in the middle of events themselves. So they're not necessarily journalists, but they are sharing a breaking news event. And I particularly, what I'm kind of curious to find out is whether you get some instances of people filming, I guess, abuses of power or situations like that kind of. So you think of various videos of police abuse of power. Meerkat strikes me as something which people would be able to use more intuitively and more quickly to stream that video live. And what's also important about that is it means that even if the authorities seize the phone afterwards and try and confiscate, you know, erase material, obviously it's already been streamed, it's already gone out there.
And Tim agrees that live streaming apps will largely be a source and tool for citizen journalists rather than professionally.
The strength of mobile is that it's just very simple and easy to use. And at the same time, I think the dominant form of mobile media that we're going to be receiving is going to be from the citizen journalist. So, you know, as much as we can say, here's a mobile device is a great tool for the professional journalist. You know, when it comes to the work that I do, when I'm going to shoot a documentary or do a news report, we're going to use a C100 or, you know, a nicer camera that's going to look really, really nice. Because that's what, you know, that's sort of the difference between a professional journalist and the citizen journalist. However, the iPhone, or I should say the smartphone, is its strength is in that it's a connected device with a camera. So it's sort of, I look at mobile as my run and gun. If we're somewhere and something happens and I need to stream, I've got my phone and it can do it. It can do everything. And for the most part, the phone exists for social media, for photos, videos, not necessarily even live streaming. But in instances where we know we're going to live stream, we, you know, preferably I'm using a DSLR of some sort with an encoder. It's small and easy to use. But if you have time to prepare, you know, and you have the resources, you should do it. In terms of those with smaller budgets and, you know, wanting to make the best out of mobile, these tools are cool. You know, the iRig, and there's so many other, you know, Olio clips and things like that, and microphones. I just don't know if there's enough use cases that make, you know, that make worth getting, especially for me.
We can't all have the expertise to be able to hack Google Glass to live stream on the go as Tim has done in the past. And where he has the gear and the know-how to respond quickly, other journalists may find it worthwhile to have a live stream app in their pocket. Tim has experimented with using Meerkat in other non-news situations, though.
I just did a, you know, I put up a YouTube video discussing this issue of privacy and their terms and conditions, and then followed up with a live stream through Meerkat. And, you know, again, the main reason I could have used Livestream, I could have used any other service, but the ease of access to watching the stream is what makes it worth using. That I can just, you know, I can press stream, it's going, and then the users can just click the link and they're watching. There's many hurdles that other organizations have. You know, Ustream, it is easy to do something the exact same way and in a lot of ways better because they have more functionality. But then there's ads, which are going to be between me and the user.
For professional use, Tim would still use the software called specifically Livestream for its functionality and, more importantly, because it shows the bitrate. So users know whether they are actually still streaming or whether they've lost connection, a capability Meerkat and other consumer-facing Livestream apps like Stream don't have yet. Even so, he stressed that the strongest use case is still for news.
I think for live news is the most powerful thing that it has. I think for the average person who wants to show their friends their dog, live doesn't make sense. Snapchat makes sense. And to a certain degree, I mean, you could just upload a Vine even, or Instagram video. There's so many different options for showing your friends what you're doing that it doesn't really make sense for Meerkat because it's ephemeral. It's going to be gone. And if you want to show your friends and your family what your dog did a backflip, just record it. However, if your dog is, saving a woman from a burning building and it's in the middle of Manhattan and everyone's clamoring what's happening and it's trending, that's when live is important. You want to make sure that everyone can watch and see this as it happens. So it's interesting because I would love everyone to have a live streaming app so that, we have more citizen journalists live streaming and we've got more access and more eyes on all these breaking news events. I just feel like without a practical use case for the average person, it will not survive.
That may well be the case, but Paul said for citizen journalists as a news event, live streaming apps like this could potentially tilt the balance of power around eyewitness media further in their favor and away from news organizations or social networks who stake a claim to the footage immediately.
In a way, it's quite refreshing for them not to be claiming ownership over your content, which is why I think that will probably change. But essentially, you can see a situation where someone is live streaming a news event. People would be tweeting at them and saying to them, can you turn your camera to the left? Or I'm hearing that this is happening over there. Can you go and get some footage of that? So that's quite interesting. But ultimately, at the end, that person owns that footage. And if you as a news organization wanted a copy of it, you would then have to contact them directly and negotiate. So that's quite an interesting situation for news organizations who might previously just rip off that footage wherever it was cached on Twitcasting or YouTube.
Paul also sees the potential for reporting using a live streaming app in a way that could engage viewers where normal broadcasting would not.
I think, again, if you're at a live event and you want to involve users in some way, then it does have some potential for in terms of not just broadcasting, but actually, in a sense, handing over some control to users and saying, what questions would you like me to ask or, keep me updated, what's going on somewhere else, that sort of thing. But again, there are kind of other tools more broadly, like Google Hangouts, which have a longer tradition of being used to live stream things like news meetings or scheduled events, a little bit more set up, a little bit more powerful in many ways, but also desktop native. So it could be a choice to be made whether you sacrifice some of the functionality and aesthetics in order to address a mobile first audience. And that might come down to the time of day. You might kind of decide, well, this is 5 o'clock, people are commuting, I'm going to do this using Meerkat. Or it's 10 o'clock, people are at work at desktops, I'm going to use Google Hangouts or even YouTube Capture, something like that. So it's yet another choice, yet another tool, which a journalist should ideally make an informed decision about when is the best time and the best situation to use that tool.
And in that way, live streaming apps can be built into a journalist's workflow.
It is an extra string, I think. And I think increasingly as journalists, if not already, we have to know dozens and dozens of tools and we have to make choices every hour, really, that traditionally publishers would make and editors would make and much less regularly. But we're having to choose the medium, the format and the channel that we initially tell our stories across.
At the moment, reporters at BuzzFeed, for example, regularly tweet Vine videos from a story they're covering, like party political conferences, and then work that Vine into a fuller article later on. Paul said that he could see a situation in the future where a reporter could stream an event and post it to social media where it can build a buzz. That would also give a reporter a degree of exclusivity around the story, and then the video can be saved and used later on. The current interest in live streaming is very much an experimentation period, though, and it may not last. As people figure out apps like Meerkat or Stream, most of what is being shared is people filming their ceiling or their friends for 10 seconds and then turning it off. And Tim says it could take a few months to develop an audience or a worthwhile consumer base, if at all.
I think there's a few challenges. The first being in most cases where I've clicked a link, the stream has been over. Whatever they were streaming, whatever it was, I hit the button and there was nothing there. So at this point, I'm kind of like, I don't even know if I'm going to click another one because I just don't even know if there's going to be anything happening. But the other big issue is that when it comes to the kind of content we're talking about, Snapchat does a better job of it. If I want to, you know, I saw somebody was showing off their pets with Meerkat, and you know, I came in 5 seconds before the stream ended, and I saw, you know, a dog, and I thought, you know, if they just shot a 10-second video on Snapchat, it would be there for all of us to watch, and they could build up their story. But for that matter, if you want to make a video and you want to live forever, you can just record on your phone and upload it to YouTube. So, you know, again, Meerkat's cool, but what are the use cases that require live? I've been doing this for several years now, and initially I was doing live for so much because so much was happening around the United States and around the world. But, you know, we had this big protest movement for like a year and a half, 2 years. But even beyond all that, it was clear that most of what was being produced was going to be text, photo, video, and longer form video, something that will live on forever on YouTube. That, you know, as powerful as live is, and as much as it can attract a very large audience, most cases require something that can live on for a long, in news, I should say. Most news cases require something that lives on forever.
Paul is slightly more optimistic, though. Although he agreed that live videos would have to be recorded, stored, and used later for the reporting to be truly worthwhile.
I can see it being used as part of a toolkit. I don't think it will be used to the extent that the hype and the kind of curiosity around it might perhaps suggest, because this is an exploration phase. But I also don't think it will go away entirely, or at least that idea of live streaming on Twitter or live streaming on social media will go away entirely. We've already seen Twitter acquire a live streaming app. I wouldn't be surprised to see Facebook move more into this area as well.
As more apps launch and market forces filter out any unnecessary facilities and sharpen the use cases of a live streaming app, we may well see a brighter future of live video for news and social media. The technology is certainly there, but whether it gets any great uptake and use in news is down to whether people are willing to experiment further. Keep an eye out on journalism.co.uk in the near future for a roundup of some live streaming apps currently available and how they might be useful. You've been listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast. Thank you.